listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh. It may make you cry. It may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast, episode 15. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Tom.
And welcome, everybody. We have a lot to talk about this show. Sorry it's coming to you kind of late, but as we said last one, you know, sometimes shit happens.
And the shit is overtime.
Yeah, that's true. Well, for you.
Sorry,
maybe for me soon, actually. Yeah, so let's get started with some of this stuff. What's today's day? March 22nd, right? We just had St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patty's Day, everybody. And happy St. Patty's Day to my Irish guy over there, my Irish co-host over there.
Yeah, top of the morning to you, you prick. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's St. Patty's Day, COVID. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not the same. True. No parade. You can't go to the bar. Bro, I was in a bar the other night, right? First off, you had to buy a whole meal just to sit there and have a beer. All right, no problem. But they got like little cubicles built up on the bar. Like, how are you going to go there and talk to a broad?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's almost like you're in the visiting room. You know what I mean? You're talking through a glass shield. The fuck? I mean, I got a broad. I don't got to go out and do that. But what, a guy that's been single this past year?
Well, on top of that, there were a couple sad things, anniversaries of deaths that I want to bring up. I mean, we're a paranormal podcast, but we talk about a lot of things. And if you guys have been listening, you know that Tom and I are into heavy metal and hard rock and stuff like that. This week on March 19th was the 39th anniversary of the death of Randy Rhoads, one of the greatest guitar players and one of the most influential guitar players of all time.
39 years.
39 years. 1982, March 19th, 1982.
I remember the day. I mean, I remember when it happened. It's like Randy Rhoads died, space shuttle, Reagan getting shot. I remember all those days, you know? And I can't remember shit. You know what I mean? Cliff Burton died. I remember that.
Right.
I'll tell you what, man. Randy Rhoads, that live version of Crazy Train, just that intro.
That tribute album? My favorite. Now, a lot of people talk Kiss Alive is the greatest live album of all time and all this stuff. No, Randy Rhoads tribute album is phenomenal.
Yeah.
That album, they did the right thing when they put that thing together. It's incredible.
Just that, even now, what did that tribute album come out? 80?
I think it was something 80? Like
what? Late 80? 80s? 89, 88, something like that?
Something like that, 86, 87, around there, yeah.
All right, man, still to this day, the intro, that Crazy Train intro that he does, that little, just holding the note.
Yeah.
Forget it. Still gives me goosebumps, bro. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. And then another death that actually was a little closer to home for me. It's been 6 years since my buddy AJ Perro, the drummer of Twisted Sister, passed away.
Yeah.
And
good dude, man. Good dude.
Really, really good guy. You know, Staten Island, New York, Brooklyn guy. And he was an awesome drummer, awesome human being. You know, I was lucky enough to booked some bands with him and stuff, and I actually got to play We're Not Gonna Take It in front of him, and he loved it. And I mean, he was such a good guy.
You know, it's like AJ and you knew AJ personally. Like, I knew Pete Steele personally. You're talking about, these are fucking gentlemen. These are guys that would sit down and talk to you. They didn't give a shit if you were a rock star or a busboy. If you wanted to talk to them, they would talk to you.
You know, I remember because AJ used to be in a in an Ozzy tribute band, an amazing Ozzy tribute band. I remember one of his shows, you know, Twisted Sister had just gotten back together. I guess it must have been after the New York Steel show that happened in 2001.
Yeah. About 2001,
yeah. And he, you know, I came over to him and I was like, yo, I'm so happy that you're back with Twisted Sister. It's amazing. I'm really happy for you. Yo, that hug that he gave me, I'll never forget that, man.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Good dude. Really, really good guy. Yeah, so enough of the sad stuff. Let's talk about a death that happened that we're not so sad about. So
Greenhaven's got one off the count, motherfucker.
So Mr. Ronald DeFeo Jr., who inspired the Amityville saga, he died in jail March 12th. He was 69 years old. Actually, he didn't die in jail. He actually died kind of comfortably in a hospital, which kind of pisses me off, but whatever.
Well, that is an example. You know this as well as I do. That is an example. Everybody is making waves about Cuomo counting deaths in hospitals, not the nursing homes, from COVID. This has been a longstanding practice in New York State. Inmates don't die in jail. They die in the outside hospital.
Right.
And this is where that that man died.
Well, let's call him what he is. He's a fucking monster, this guy. All right. Everybody knows the lore of the Amityville. I don't really have to go into all that. Right. Everybody knows that. Well, everybody knows the first movie. The first movie really has nothing to do with DeFeo and what happened. That's about the Lutz family that moved in a year later. And, you know, all this haunted stuff happened. And it was kind of, if you think about it, it might have been made, or the book might have been made, to help Ronnie DeFeo Jr.'s case a little bit, because they were going with his answer that the house made him do it, that the house was possessed, this and that. Listen, I don't doubt that the Amityville house is haunted, but I believe it's haunted by the six family members that he killed there. By anything else, yeah, other than the people that he brutally murdered there. It shot them with a shotgun, every single one of them.
Yeah. I can tell you that my buddy that I work with now did a whole lot of time working at Greenhaven. And he said that guy would just say, nah, I was fucked up on drugs. That whole Amityville shit was bullshit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So fuck him.
Yeah, absolutely. But let me read you guys this just so, because like I said, everybody knows the original movie and the original book, which has really nothing to do with the with DeFeo and his family. But they did loosely base Amityville Part 2 on the DeFeos. That's all about the DeFeos. You see the murder and you see him going around. You know, of course, he's possessed by the house, this and that. But that's more about the DeFeos. So if you really want to see anything with the DeFeos, that's the movie to watch. There is some kind of weird shit in there where he had kind of a love sexual affair with his sister, which is a little strange. But, well, a lot strange. But yeah, so that's the second movie. But let me just read you guys this real quick. And, you know, so you guys could have a little bit of clarity here. So DeFeo died in a hospital in Albany, New York. He had been serving a sentence of 25 years to life. Actually, he went to Sullivan Correctional Facility, but he was in Greenhaven for a very long time.
Sullivan's probably a closer ride to Albany Med.
Right. Yeah. A cause of death has not yet been announced. In 1974, DeFeo used a rifle to kill his father, Ronald DeFeo Sr., who was 43, his mother, Louise, who was 42, and his siblings, Dawn, who was 18, Allison, who was 13, and Mark, 11, and John, 9. So this guy was a monster, man. He killed, I mean, his whole family, and they were young kids. There was, I mean, come on. There was no reason for any of that. You know, he was... drugs or not, come on. He was a monster. You know, I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but good riddance.
I don't give a shit. He was a fucking douche. Fuck him.
Tom, you wanted to talk a little bit about Facebook. Isn't that true?
Go ahead. Ask me why I haven't checked out the Facebook group.
Why haven't you checked out the Facebook group, Tom?
Because I am banned on Facebook. Ask me why I'm banned on Facebook, Joe.
Because you spoke your honest opinions?
I honestly wish that was it. I put up a meme, Joe. A meme that I got from somebody else, because honestly, I wasn't even clever enough to to think this one up myself. Stole it from somebody else's page and I posted it. Ask me what the meme said, Joe.
What did it say, Tom? What did the meme say?
Meme was a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer eating at Five Guys. And he's looking into the camera saying, you know, I really don't think there's five whole guys in this. Thank you. I don't care who we are, Facebook. That's funny.
Damn, Facebook police.
Yeah, so I am I'm suspended for an
how long?
At least 30 days, but indefinitely was used in the
Have you gotten your good time taken away? Or?
Yeah, right. I go to the board in 30 days. We'll see. Yo, fuck them, bro. I don't give a shit. Honestly, I've been spending time on TikTok, and it's a hell of a lot more fun than Facebook ever was.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, I like TikTok. I mean, you could get lost with hours on TikTok.
You really can.
Just scrolling. Like, I'll be sitting there. I'll be like, holy crap, I have to go to work right now. You know, it's crazy. I like TikTok also. You know, it's one of those things. It's like instant gratification.
Yeah.
You know, because all the clips are so short. But yeah, guys, you know, we do have a Facebook group. Also, go check out our website at www.ghosthackspodcast.com. And also, if you have any paranormal experiences you want to share, call us on our hotline at 845-379-1331 and leave us a voicemail.
Please.
We do have some of those. I think we'll probably get to them next episode, maybe, because there are a bunch of things to talk about. But we do have some cool voicemails that we definitely want to share. So the next thing I want to talk about, Tom, is now I'm going to send you I just sent you the picture right now. Okay, so now this is about, I just came across this on social media. And the headline reads, a grandma spots a demon standing over her grandchild's bed. Do you see the picture?
Yeah. Is that supposed to be a demon?
That's supposed to be a demon, Tom. They say that it has horns and long, sharp fingernails. I don't really see either one of those things, but that's what they're saying it has.
Dude, I could see it. It's a rubber mask from here.
But this is what's going on here. So... Tori McKenzie, she's 41. She's a grandma. That makes me feel really old. Lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she had set up a motion activated camera in her grandchildren's room her adult son, Ryan, had told her that his 2-year-old daughter, Amber, was overheard pleading with someone or something to go away after she was put to bed. Tori checked the footage a few days after and was horrified to find a terrifying figure standing inches away from Amber and her 7-month-old brother at approximately 3 a.m., which is, of course, the witching hour. The figure appears to have horns and long claws, which I don't really see in the picture. I hope you guys check it out and let me know what you guys think. But this has been making the rounds. That's why I wanted to talk about it. After seeing this, Tori attempted to rid the house of the evil being by burning oils. Unfortunately, that just made it mad, as there were cabinets and curtains opening by itself. Why wouldn't they have that on video? The cameras, the cabinets and the curtains opening and closing by themselves.
Because it's a fake picture, Joe. It's absolutely fake. You can see that. Forget it. Go on with the story. Huh?
But wait, and then the music was going on and off by itself. Mm-hmm. There's no device anywhere that can make music go on and off by itself. At least all of my 5 seconds of checking on Google, I did not find anything except for maybe 10 million results right. about things that, where the music goes on and off by itself. But the father has since moved the kids into his room. And luckily, no harm has come to anyone. Yeah. The 2-year-old actually isn't afraid of the presence, as she sees it almost every night and laughs with it most of the time. But apparently it pissed her off this time. She told it to go away. Yeah. The grandmother went to the only place where there's millions of experts, Facebook, to post. That's why you didn't see
it. That's why I didn't see it.
Some commented it's fake. Some commented that it's probably a deceased relative. But I believe one person gave her the best advice when they said this. There's a very easy solution here. Tank of gasoline and a lighter and burn the house down and just move on. They said, you know, I'll definitely include the article with the picture in the show notes for you guys to make your own determination. But this has been making the rounds on a lot of paranormal Facebook groups.
Bro, it looks like there's a rubber mask and it's obviously a female because it has breasts. I mean, you know, come on. It's fake.
Demon.
It's fakety fake fake. Grandma's pissed off that she's a 41-year-old grandma. I want to shake shit up a little bit.
This has also been making the rounds, and I've been excited to talk to you guys about this because it's as interesting as it is funny. So, and by the way, little disclaimer, there's no political agenda. There's actually no real politics in this story whatsoever. Just the person that we're about to talk about. So, Tom, have you heard the theory that Donald Trump is a time traveler? Or that Donald Trump knows about time travel? Have you heard this theory yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, great. So check this out, Tom. So this theory started, when someone came across some books, these are real books, by the way, in the Office of Congress library website. So these are actual honest to God books. The books are called Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey and 1900 or The Last President. Both of these books were written in the 1890s by Ingersoll Lockwood. Okay, so these are real books. You could find them. You could look it up on the Office of Congress library website and they're there. Okay. So like I said, Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. We all know Baron Trump is who? Donald Trump's son, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he now? 14?
15. Yeah. 15.
The books themselves are real, but the plot of the first book about Baron Trump includes a story about a young boy who finds a secret portal and time travels. For starters, the main character's name is President Donald Trump's son. Well, former President Donald Trump's son. Spelled a little differently, but it's still Baron. Trump's adventures begin in Russia. And Russia, which I believe the first lady is like in a Russian country or something. But and are guided thanks to directions provided by the master of all masters. This is really in the book, okay? So let me read this again. Trump's adventures begin in Russia and are guided thanks to directions provided by the master of all masters, a man named Don. And this is all in these books that came out in 1890. So this kid, Baron Trump, goes on adventures of time travel and he's listening to this guru named Don.
$10 says
that somebody told Donald Trump to name his kid Baron because of the book.
Yeah. Donald Trump was getting up there in the years and he had a whole lot of money to do whatever he wanted with. And I guarantee you he knew about this story and probably had a first edition.
Okay.
Well in advance of 15 years ago when he had Baron.
So let me do some more stuff here. Lockwood wrote a sequel series of novels. Novels 4 years after the initial publication of his first book. In the third novel is called 1900 or The Last President. Now this is the premise of this book that came out in the 1890s. Now, Tom, the story of this book, The Last President, the story begins with a scene from a panicked New York City in early November. It describes a state of uproar after an election in which an enormously opposed outsider is granted power. After the chaotic scene in New York City, we find out that the man who won the presidency is extremely wealthy and resides on Fifth Avenue, which is where Trump Towers is, I believe. As crazy as this sounds, once Lockwood's character becomes president, he begins choosing people for his cabinet. One of the first people he picked was a man named LaFay Pence. And this is all in these books that came out in the 1890s, these real books. So would you like to hear the tie-in with all this now, Tom?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so here's the tie-in. So a very intelligent inventor named Nikola Tesla was responsible for many inventions and his work on trying to make some crazy ones as well, such as he tried making a death ray, and he had thought and was obsessed with trying to make a time machine and figure out time travel. After he died in 1943, the FBI seized all of his work and wanted it analyzed, right? Because they couldn't really figure out, a lot of it was written in code, and you know, he was a very brilliant man, so he knew how to write things to where a lot of people wouldn't really understand them. So the FBI had tasked a man, a very brilliant man, on the team. He was an MIT engineer and one of the most brilliant minds in the country. They tasked him to look through Nikola Tesla's notes, okay, to make sure that there was nothing that, you know, they have to hide or that you know, that isn't safe. Right, Tom?
Right.
The man that they tasked to do this, this brilliant MIT engineer, was John G. Trump, Donald Trump's uncle.
Wow.
Okay. So John Trump later concluded that there was nothing dangerous or of importance in his work, and the matter was closed. So here's the question, Tom. Was John telling the truth? Or maybe he kept the secrets of time travel for himself? Maybe he knew about this time travel stuff and he wanted to keep it under wraps.
Something to think about. I think if Donald Trump knew the secret of time travel, the election might have gone differently.
So now, Tom, after doing some research on the gray web, not the dark web, I'm not allowed on the dark web, I actually came across a quote from Nikola Tesla describing to someone about his time travel experiments. You want to hear this?
It's sure, pretty cool. Sure.
All right. So when asked about time, the time machine he would work on, he said, and I quote, "This sucker is electrical, but I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity to power the flux capacitor." In case you're wondering, the flux capacitor is what makes time travel possible.
But I thought everybody knew that.
So,
1.21 gigawatts.
I was going to play the actual clip, but then we'd get sued.
So yeah.
I just figured I would say it. But one last thing, and this is why I asked you to kind of look into the Philadelphia experiment for me. The thing that I kind of tied to this was, as I said earlier, Nikola Tesla died in 1943, right? This is coincidentally the same year that the Navy supposedly was working on a top secret experiment known as the Philadelphia experiment, which was possibly where they were trying to figure out time travel or teleportation. So this is a big thing that's going around. I've seen it in a lot of places. A lot of people have been talking about it, but for some reason, like, you get bits and pieces here, bits and pieces there. I just wanted to put everything together so everybody could get the full gist of the thing. But I thought, you know, as outlandish as it sounds, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty interesting. And I figured, you know, it would be an interesting topic to talk about. I like the movie
Philadelphia Experiment, but I did some background on it, man. And it is fiction. It is straight out fiction. It was somebody trying to sell a story to a sci-fi magazine, and they did it trying to do it under the radar, trying to start an urban legend. That's what it seems like to me. The Eldridge, the ship that it was supposed to be on, had a complement of 201 enlisted men and 15 officers. Not one of those men on that boat has come out and said that anything like that ever happened. In fact, most of them have come out and said, no, that's bullshit. Plus, we can't even pin down if the Eldridge was in the Philadelphia shipyards at the time. is bullshit. I wish it was. You know what? It's a great story. You know, dimensions and aliens and time travel. And
when it came back in the wrong spot. And there were sailors that were fused to different parts of the boat and, you know, ended up dying and stuff like that. That's.
Yeah, but there's no VA payouts since 1943 for the injuries described on the Eldridge. That's actually on the web. You know, look, I could be regurgitating some bullshit that the government put on the web. You know what I mean? But yeah, we need more corroboration with this story.
Gotcha. So yeah, man, that's all I got for today. A bunch of stories that you completely dismissed and discredited on me. Thank you. And
man, this is my co-host Tom the Dick.
No, well, you know, we do these shows and we want everybody else to decide, you know. I don't know one way or another if any of these stories are true. They're fascinating and they're interesting to talk about, and that's why we talk about it, you know. It's up to you guys to decide what you think. We all know that the government likes to hide things, and you know, I still believe that there's a lot of UFO and alien things out there that they're not telling us. Who knows? I mean, there's probably plenty of more, you know, that either they want to keep for their own thing, or to protect us in a way.
Joe, I'm still trying to get that young lady to confirm the story that I wanted to work with you on, haunted real estate in New York.
Right.
She's a good friend of the family, and she's a licensed real estate agent, and she's said she would walk us through it. If she won't, I'll just take the information and run with it on the next episode, because I find it fascinating.
So I guess that's all we got for you guys today, man. We have plenty of interviews coming up. We just scheduled a whole bunch of them. So with some interesting people in the paranormal realm and not in the paranormal realm. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys like the episode. And yeah, guys, don't forget to check us out. www.ghosthackspodcast.com. Call our hotline, 845-379-1331. You could email me at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. And go check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just look us up. You'll find us. All of those social things are also on our website, too. So if you go to ghosthackspodcast.com, you'll see the little buttons at the top there. So you can go to all of our social media. While you're on the website, check out the blog. Check out all of our guest info and all of our episodes as well. Check out our store, where all of the proceeds go to the First Responders Children's Foundation. We do not make a penny off of any of it. We would also greatly appreciate it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or you could do so on our website as well. So our website is chock full of funness. It looks like I lost Tom because of a user error. I believe we used to call that an ID10T error. Check that one out. It's because Tom forgot to plug in his laptop and the battery died. Way to go, Tom. Anyway, have a good night, everybody. Don't forget to change your shorts. And as for Tom, see ya!
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.